following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Pluto TV. It's the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all for free. No credit card needed, no sign up. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today. And welcome to Corolla Classics for May 4th, 2019. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name's Chris Loxamon, executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show, along with Corolla archivist superfan Giovanni.
Hey everybody, happy Saturday.
And happy Saturday to you, Gio. For those who are just tuning in or listening through The Adam Carolla Show feed, a reminder, please check out Corolla Classics, the podcast. It's a separate feed, and we'll be releasing another show exclusively on that feed tomorrow. Also, if you'd like to submit a request, email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. Tweet us at Chris Loxamon, at Giovanni Giorgio. This first clip is a listener request from Nick. He writes, "Hi guys, great job on the Classics pods, love them. There was an episode a few years back when Billy West was on doing Joe Walsh singing Walk Away. Killed me at the time. Thanks."
Yeah, this is Adam Carolla Show 604, featuring Billy West, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. It's from July 2011. It's Billy West's second appearance on the podcast. He was a great frequent guest on the morning show. Some really in-depth stuff about his personal life and sobriety, and then just hilarious riffing. And this is a short clip where they're talking about Joe Walsh, because he had the idea of reading some of Adam's paperback of In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks as Joe Walsh. And then Adam has him fire up Walk Away, which he loves, and then Billy starts singing along with it. It's incredible. It's hilarious. This is a great pick, Nick. Enjoy this one.
Speaking of me,
you're a maverick.
My paperback, thank you, out as we speak. I heard that you wanted to read a little bit of that as a great Joe Walsh. Yes. the only eagle I like who did anything in the solo department.
Right. He can't do anything wrong other than, I mean, because of that is redemption.
I loved his, total redemption. I loved his James Gang stuff. But
we did.
You guys, I don't know if Allison, you know what Joe Walsh sounds like?
No.
We did. The James Gang did Walk Away.
Yeah. Walk Away was the greatest riff ever.
That's right.
You got Walk Away, Bob Bryan?
I'll find it.
Just one of the greatest. You're a musician, Allison. How do you not know the great Joe Walsh?
Yeah, you're a musician. Well, so yeah, I mean, we came out of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Kent State and all that stuff. By the way. How you doing?
That's what he says. He should be on the radio out here.
He was and in New York.
Listen to this riff.
Let me sing it.
Yeah, please.
Taking my time, drinking my wine.
Turn it up.
I forgot the words.
No, you got it.
It looks like
turn it up.
No, wait a minute. How you doing? I know this part, the chorus.
Turn it up.
Seems to me, you don't want to talk about it, seems to me. You just turn your pretty head and walk away. How you doing?
Leave it
That's up. That's a 1959 Les Paul he's got in his hand.
Great.
That guitar is now worth $1 million.
Really?
A 59 Sunburst Les Paul is worth $1 million, and I had one, and I sold it for $2,000.
I love those stories.
No, because I needed the dough.
No, I'm guessing you needed the money, yeah.
For alcohol.
Really?
Coke, yeah.
What year?
79. Some of you are saying
Tuesday.
No.
Hold on, turn it up.
Seems to me.
Sing, y'all.
You don't want to talk about it, seems to me. That harmony's off. Or maybe it's my ears. I blew my head out playing through 400 watts of amplifier. Oh, yeah. I get it.
Allison, you know this one.
Yeah, right? I do know this.
You know that one.
Wow, yeah, that sunburst is worth $1 million. How many did they make?
I'm like George Benson. I'm singing along with my own ribs.
Yeah, I like that. How many of those did they make, the sunburst?
They made probably, I don't know, 600 of them or something.
Hold on, sing like Joe Walsh.
Seems to me, you don't want to talk about it, seems to me. You know what? Otherwise, I wouldn't have any material to write if I wasn't mistreated by women like this one. That's the creative side. Misfortune is a good vehicle for creativity. How you doing?
You know what I'd do if I was Joe when I got back together with the Eagles?
Yeah.
I'd be like, and we were arguing in the recording studio. I'd be like, all right, engineer, cue up Dirty Laundry. All right, got that. All right, now cue up Smuggler's Blues. All right, we got that. Now cue up Walk Away. Okay, now shut the fuck up. I'm talking. That's what I would do when I was arguing with the Eagles.
That's right. The solos that he
put into
Life in the Fast Lane. Yeah. All classics. Every note he hit was gold.
You better believe it. I made a lot of music.
Where's Joe Walsh living?
What?
Where's he live?
Temecula Canyon.
Really?
No, I don't know.
We got to get him in with a sunburst and then hit him over the head with a rolling pin.
West Covina.
He's calling, Joe, I want you to play your sunburst in the studio.
I don't have that anymore. That gets stolen.
Okay.
Everybody who has one gets it stolen.
Yeah. All right.
By thugs with rolling pins. Walsh.
You know why I know so much about that? Because I had one. Like I said, I bought it for $1,000 in 1972 or three. And then a few years later, like in 78 or 9, I sold it for $2,000. And then, a couple years later, I sobered up, and I moved to New York, and I was walking down Guitar Street. You ever see 48th Street? It's got Sam Ash, it's got guitar centers, and little shops with vintage guitars, and I'm walking by, and I had a dream about the damn guitar the night before, and I don't know why I was on Guitar Street going to work to the Stern Show, but I was walking by, and I swear I see the thing in the window.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was sending me signals to come by and say hi or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in there, and I said, hey, just, you know, out of curiosity, you know, I think I used to own that guitar, and I'm just wondering, like, what are you getting for it? And these are the guys who live for that moment.
Sure.
That go, you know, do you have, like, $75,000? Look at that thing, how beautiful that is.
I love a piece of mechanical art.
I love Billy West, Gio.
Hilarious.
He's so talented. For those who aren't really familiar with his work, you are. The Red M&M, Bugs Bunny, the new versions.
Stimpy,
yes.
And then eventually Ren, he took over when the show's creator was let go. Most famously, Philip J. Fry from Futurama, for all the Futurama heads out there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, I love when Billy West comes in. Hopefully we'll have him back soon. But let's keep the clips moving. All right, so this next one, also a listener request. This is from Matt. He writes, hey guys, really appreciate you all laboring away and letting the diehard fans wax nostalgia. Doing my best to add to the show to the podcast regiment, so please don't exhaust yourself too much on my behalf.
He did.
Well, he wrote a lot of stuff, but he basically wants to find the show where a caller gets on and asks Adam something to the effect, hey, if you could speak to and give advice to people that are victims of abuse, victims of no parents, etc., what would you tell them? And then he writes another huge paragraph that I'm not going to get through. Matt, you want us to find this clip? We think we got you.
Possibly. So I gave up looking for it because of such vague clues. And then I was going through looking for some classic clips, and I found this Ace Award nominee with caller Maggie. And this may be the very speech he's looking for. They wrote a really nice note, and there was some really personal stuff in there, too, we really appreciate. And this may be what he actually wanted. It's Adam Carolla Show 1520, Sam Jones, Matt Atchity, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. This is when Matt Atchity's in the studio. This is from February 2015. It was an Ace Award nominee. Caller Maggie, she's the third caller of the show. She's a big fan, and she lives on the west side of Cleveland. She describes her neighbors who are making her nervous, and she's got a killer impression of a specific neighbor who the gang seemed to really appreciate. Check it out.
Maggie, 23, Cleveland.
Hello?
What's going on? Can you hear me?
Hello, me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They're mine.
Yeah, what's going on, Maggie?
Hey, first of all, congratulations on Road Hard. My friend Dario already have it. We have it pre-ordered and Mangria on the way to Cleveland, so thank you so much.
Ah, wow. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so thank God you took my call. I was panicking. So I live in the west side of Cleveland right now.
No, it won't.
And I have these terrible neighbors upstairs. So to give you a little background, about 2 weeks ago, I pull up and we have a security door on the front of our building that you need a key to actually get into the building to get to our doors. This is going to be like the worst reenactment ever. But so I walk up and the guy's like, oh, man, thank God you here. I got some chemicals cooking on the stove, man. I got to get up to my apartment before it blows up. Now, me...
You live in an acidic neighborhood?
Yeah, that's Jews.
Yeah, I live in a really super safe neighborhood. The rest of my family lives in Alabama, so I'm the only one up here, sadly. But
was the guy who was keeping the chicks in the basement?
That was Cleveland.
That was Cleveland. That guy killed himself, right?
Yeah.
Is that an attic or a basement?
Yeah. Basement.
Okay.
Attic's bad.
They were all
thin.
Over
they
the
can
house.
Fall through.
Yeah.
They make a lot. I mean, what do I know?
They could signal to neighbors.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah. Not good. There's dormer vents.
Yeah, so
I had a thing shining her earrings at the guy noticed them walking his dog. Anyway, didn't that guy kill himself in prison?
Yes. Ariel.
Yeah. Okay.
Maggie, did you know him?
Sir, yeah.
You know that? You ever chill?
Neighbor yours?
Thankfully, I do not, but I've met one of the girls. We did karaoke together one night.
Oh, no.
Wow.
What'd she say?
One of the survivors from the
no,
house.
No, I get it. They don't let the guy out on furlough to do karaoke.
Was this before or after they discovered them? Because that'd be very awkward if you did it before.
Yeah, it was not before. I'm only 23, so before was like, 14 years ago, so I wasn't even old enough to get
I'm going to make guesses. Mm. I'll guess the song she didn't do. Walking on Sunshine? That'd probably be the top of my my list. Xanadu might be.
Princes was probably not song.
Probably not song. What song did she do? Do you remember?
What song did she do? I did Paul Revere by Beastie Boys, and then she went up and did Intergalactic. And then she sang...
That was going to be my third guess.
Mm-hmm. We shared our love of Beastie Boys, so it was a really good moment. It was a good bonding experience.
Now, let me just get this straight. First off, we can all agree that the monster who was keeping the gals in the basement as a sex slave, who killed himself in prison a year ago, that's a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because... Sure. We don't have to hear in Gina Grad's news that he's got a calendar coming out or that he's been offered a lucrative book deal or that there's been some marriage proposals and he's accepted one of them or the trial is coming up and he's going to go up there and say that one of the chicks was asking for it. It's just done.
Mm-hmm.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
And now he's gone. Mm-hmm. And we don't even really think about him anymore, right?
I
can't even remember his name.
Yeah,
I didn't even know when he hung himself or hanged himself. I can never remember how. It should be hung, but
it's
when
hanged,
he hanged.
I think.
Yes, yeah. When he hanged himself. I don't even remember when that was. That's good news.
Yeah.
That's the Tim McVeigh way.
Maggie, do you still see this girl out karaokeing?
She goes out a lot, actually. What's sad is when she was up there, the poor nutrition really, stunted her growth. So she kind of, she isn't a midget, but she's very small. She's probably about 4'10".
Wow.
I would say she's super sweet, super cute. She's very recognizable, and she has a lot of friends. Like, she goes out all the time, so it's good to see her out and about.
I'm going to invite her out when I come out next to play the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah.
Hey, we would love for you to come to Cleveland. We are dying over here.
I'm just being a dick.
Yeah, that's true.
Dying if they're chained up in a basement.
Jesus Christ. All right, Meg. Well, look, Meg, the good news is there's plenty of stand-up in Road Hard, so you'll get to see some.
That's the
some
good
stand-up.
News.
That's the good news.
Good. And if it's not funny enough, we have Mangria to keep us entertained.
Yeah. Lube yourself up with some Mangria first, and then watch Road Hard.
And even if it's horrible, it won't be the worst thing that's happened to that girl.
No, I'm not saying watch
it
with her. Well,
we love the hammer, so it was really great.
Well, laughter's the best medicine, isn't it?
It certainly is, yes.
All right.
So the meth heads.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. What was going on? The Jews were cooking up the rocks, yeah?
Yeah, the Krakow neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
What'd
the guy sound like again?
Oh, you want me to do it again?
I do.
Isn't pretty terrible? All right, let me... Can you hear me? All right. Hey, thank God you're here, man. I got some chemicals cooking on the stove, man. I got to get up to my apartment before they explode. Now, I'm not going to say the race of this man, but...
Understood.
I'm not going to say that
math.
He's, you know...
Asian. We did it. Now, here's my advice. You want to know the best way to deal with unruly neighbors. There is no way to deal, in my vast experience with the unruly... I've had many conversations with many of the unruly. I was born and bred with unruly people, and I've had many a sort of voice of, you know, sober voice of reason with these guys, and they ended up never, ever listening. And by the way, the unruly start listening a few years after they're incarcerated. Or they've lost a friend in a van fire, or the prostate is blown up. Like, at some point when the salt and pepper starts coming in around the temples, then they'll listen. They don't listen when they're 27. I've had many, many conversations mm-hmm. with the unruly.
Well, and also, I feel like she's underselling the neighbors. It's not like they're doing P90X too loud and stomping on the floor. They're
right.
crackheads. Well,
yes.
They're going to explode the building.
She said they were making chemicals on the stove. That could have been a roof or gumbo. I mean, there's a lot of chemicals.
Yeah, yeah, right. Sorry, my mistake.
That's what I call it when I'm cooking.
Yeah, right. Well, necessarily.
So, Maggie. So
he isn't the problem. That's the thing.
My advice to everybody who has the unruly or dangerous neighbors, move the fuck out. Just move out.
No, he isn't the problem. It's his woman upstairs who I think is like the drug lord and yelled at her mule all
now,
night.
What does she sound like?
I can hear them like verbatim through my walls, and I can hear them having sex too while it's very disturbing. But she's more like a high pitched, like, I know you guys ain't trustworthy, so I know you guys are running these streets and you taking my drugs and you selling them for honor and you keeping your own money. And I'm like, oh my God, these people are going to come up here and like blow her up. Like she's like this like woman screaming at these probably young men who are, you know, running.
Yeah. All right, Maggie, look,
running the streets.
I want you to do something. If you can, track down your biological dad, kick him in the nuts for me. All right? What part of Florida is he living in?
What?
What part of Florida is biological dad living in?
No shit, he lives in Naples.
Oh, Christ.
So thank you for that. That's very nice.
Wow. How did I get so lucky with my guesses?
It's amazing. You had 1 in 50 chance of nailing the state.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
All right. When's the last time you guys hung out?
When I was 7.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you can't judge. Hey, listen. As the good folks at HuffPo would point out to me, there are plenty of examples mm-hmm. of young women who are neglected by dads and haven't seen them in 15 years and live in Florida who've turned out just fine.
Mm, true.
Okay.
What if the gap just wasn't?
Problem solved. Okay. You've shown me an example where it turned out right. You show me the one example where the chick went to Stanford, and I show you the 10 million examples where the chick went to Skid Row. Mm-hmm. But you want to keep talking about the one example where the chick went to Stanford.
But Maggie needs to move.
Good. So that's a good,
yeah,
that's a good way to approach.
Yeah, I have a good job.
Yeah, the problems of life should be approached that way.
Yeah, the single example.
Okay, that's a good example. That's a great point.
Hurry it up. Maggie has to get to her clan meeting.
All right, Maggie, you should move out.
Yes.
You move out. Are you having issues with dudes?
Dating's not that good of a thing for me in Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah. Again, dad. And now, do you have any contact at all with him?
Last I heard, he was, I don't like want to get sponsored, but he's actually very sick, and now he's trying to reach out and get in touch with me. And.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. It's never good when that starts out with last I heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Maggie?
Yeah.
Don't forgive him. Don't tell him it's okay. He can pass away peacefully now. Tell him he made his fucking bed. Now he can shit in it when he loses control of his bowels from whatever horrible disease is rightfully eating his body. Mm-hmm. Okay?
I seriously appreciate that. That's like, I needed somebody to, like,
you don't need any closure with a guy you never had a fucking opening with.
Yeah.
This fucking thing where, hey, we need closure. With who? The guy I don't know? Fuck him. He's dead, hopefully dead to
you,
and he'll be dead to us soon. Mm-hmm. And then the world will be a little bit better place.
Yeah, marginally, but a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit better time in Naples. All right, Maggie?
Well, thanks, man. Looking forward to Roadhouse. Thank
you
so much.
Your revenge is going to be a very successful life.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I just graduated college in December, so I'm really looking forward to
good.
The future. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, but move out of that apartment.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, everyone makes such a fucking big deal about the closure and the this and the that and the other. Look, this guy doesn't deserve your fucking time. I have a daughter, and she's 1 year older than Maggie was the last time she saw this guy or her biological. I couldn't imagine that. I mean, I
fantasize about it.
It'd be really, nice. Yeah, really move to Florida. Yeah. Younger chick.
That's right.
I couldn't imagine the psychological toll it would take upon her. I had a beautiful sort of heart to heart with her the other day, and it's like single tear sort of thing. I was telling Dr. Drew about it, but I don't think I was telling you guys about it.
Remember.
She wanted to have her ears pierced, and I was explaining to her that I know you're going to get your ears pierced, and I know the aesthetic thing is going to be a big part of your life, and I can't help it, but I don't want it to be. I know it's going to be a part. Let's not make it a big part. And she was just I was sitting on the end of the bed, and she was just standing there just looking at me, and I said, you got great stuff going on. You're a fucking firecracker. She's strong. She's dynamic. She's got great balance. She's got this great physicality. She's smart. She really excels at things. And I said, I want you to be the person that's the doctor, the lawyer, the whatever, that we're focused. Don't get mired in the physical part. Yes, you're going to get you'll get your ears pierced, and you're going to brush your hair and put on a little makeup before you leave the house, but let's not make it your life. And she's attractive, and she's going to be an attractive woman. And I said, you're going to get steered in that direction. I don't want that for you. It's fine. Spend a half hour before you leave the house, but don't spend 2 hours before you leave the house. You're not going to escape it. It's all over us. It's every princess movie and everything in society. But you're dynamic. And she said, what's dynamic mean? And I said, wow, you're strong and you're interesting and you're smart and you can go out and do so much more. I just don't want this to be. And she was just standing in front of me, and she said, one tear just go down her left cheek. Aww. It was just like real crazy moment I had with her, but
that's
hope
another couple of years kept her off the pole.
That's right.
Yeah, and you got to her clearly.
I hope the one tear meant she felt what I felt and knew what I was saying.
Or maybe
saying.
It just meant he's saying no.
I wanted, or maybe it was code. I want a earring in my left ear.
That's right.
And in that 8 minutes with Maggie, it sounds like you were more of a father figure to her than her biological father.
Fucking guys, they can go fuck themselves. I used to kind of be a little more accepting of it, but once you have kids, no fucking way. No fucking way. These guys don't act. They don't. And by the way, their past, like, oh, he didn't know his dad. Mm. Fuck you.
Break the cycle.
Okay. Good.
Good choice.
Okay, what if his dad was an arsonist? Mm. Fine. Let him just burn down the fucking house. No, not an excuse. He should know that much better the pain of growing up without a parent. All right. We will take ourselves a break. Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. RottenTomatoes.com is where you go. That's fun. Go there, check out the movies, check out the critics and the top critics, and the website again, RottenTomatoes.com, the website and the game. That can only be found here, my friends. I love that. Also, what about, where do you want people to go? The TV show?
With the podcast. Also, for those people that are in Los Angeles, we will be at Long Beach Comic Con this weekend doing our panel called Your Opinion Sucks, critics versus fans.
It's super fun.
Fans line up. They argue with critics. They talk about a movie that they love for a minute, and a critic tells them they're stupid. It's awesome.
Oh, you loved Boyhood, right?
I did not love Boyhood.
Oh, good. You're back in the realm of intelligence.
Yeah, no, I
the movie
hated
was long
who that
and
kid
sucked.
Became.
Yeah, I didn't like who he became, yeah. And I didn't like the movie. I just thought, look, as I said to Brian, remove the hook part, and maybe you can't, but remove the super interesting part, I guess, where you spent 12 years making a movie and just look at it as a movie. Boring. And yeah, I mean, like him either.
It's kind of interesting watching someone literally grow up on in front of you.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
It's interesting.
But...
Yeah, it's interesting. Like watching someone
Whiplash
or something. Yeah,
Whiplash. Is
yeah,
one.
But the kid turned out to be a piece of shit, right? I was just like,
yeah, I don't know.
Did you like the kid? At the end of the movie, yeah.
Like, yeah. Whiplash is the better movie.
Yeah, oh, much better. All right. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Quick break to talk about Pluto TV. That's right. It's the leading free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch free. Just go. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. So what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. And you could download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream. Pluto TV. Check it out. We're back. Chris and Gio here with some more Corolla Classic clips for you. This next one is one that goes down as the hardest I've laughed during the show. And it's all because of one man, Mike Dawson.
This is definitely one of these episodes where you can hear the entire production staff laughing inside the booth. It's my favorite when you hear the laughs reverberating off the glass. Especially Gary's laugh is pretty epic. This is from Adam Carolla's show 895, featuring Dave Hill, Susie Essman, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. It's the opening segment where Adam shares his grievances regarding Harper Valley PTA. And then later with Dave Hill and Allison busts out her guitar shredding impression. Two choice clips edited together like a mini best of. It was a great episode.
Yeah, a lot of people asking for Allison's guitar impression. They love that drop. Enjoy.
You know how everything and mostly little things, and but especially unnecessary things, bother me?
Yes.
I'd heard the Harper Valley PTA song a million times. So I got it on my iPhone. And it's just a funny novelty song. And it was done in the early 70s. And it's done about it. It's supposed to be a true story. And it's about that she's singing it. It's the daughter. And the daughter went home. Can find me the date, find me the anything on this song, please. The daughter went home and she was in trouble at school because she was wearing like a mini skirt or something.
Trollop.
And, right. And her mom went in, 68. And her mom went in and instead of like apologizing or saying, my daughter wear a longer skirt or whatever it is, went in and socked it to the Harper Valley PTA.
Elise Keaton did that
mm-hmm.
on Family Ties.
Really?
Socked it, like, with her fist or with words? Because Elise Keaton punched someone.
More powerful with words. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you all a story about a Harper Valley widowed wife.
Who sings this song, please?
Who had a teenage daughter who attended Harper Valley Junior High.
The household name,
well,
Jeannie C. Riley. And for some reason, like 10 years later, they decided to make a TV series out of it.
Mrs. Johnson, you're wearing your dress is way too high.
Oh, I guess they're talking about her.
It's reported you've been drinking and are running around with men and going wild.
Oh. That genius Sherwood Schwartz did the show.
You ought to be a bringing up your little girl,
That fountain of creativity, I can't believe he's using a 10-year-old country song. He had so many original ideas, you know? Like the Globetrotters playing robots on Gilligan's Island. Oh, yeah, so she's going to show them. And as she walked up to the blackboard, I can still recall the words she had to say. She said, I'd like to address this meeting of the Harper Valley PTA. All right, now here's where I start to have a problem. Listen to the names.
Well, there's Bobby Taylor sitting there, and seven times he's asked me for a date.
So we got Taylor. Now we got the Taylor family.
What does that mean?
Well,
she likes her drinks cold.
She plays rugby and she gets beaten up pretty good.
And shouldn't Gwyneth Jones be told to keep her when the shades all pull completely down?
So we got Jones, Taylor, and Baker. Now listen.
Well, Mr. Harper couldn't be here.
Is it his valley?
Hold on. Now you got to stop it. Mr. Harper? Yeah, you're socking it to the Harper Valley, right? PTA. Are you plumb out of names? Are you out of fake names? It's not, they don't rhyme anything with Harper.
No. Taylor, Baker, Jones, and Harper at the Harper Valley PTA.
What do? Sit around and write the song and go, I'm just out of last names?
I'm thinking she got it wrong in the singing and refused another take. Because she probably had Harper on the brain and just said Harper.
Yeah.
No one would write that.
It was originally Schlossberg.
Mrs. Fagenbaum. But seriously, you have a song that takes place in Harper Valley. Harper is a last name, a fairly popular last name, but there's also several thousand other fairly popular last names from which to choose from. And you can't pull one more out of your ass. You get Taylor and Baker and Jones.
Mr. Harper couldn't be here because he stayed too long at Kelly's bar again.
It's his valley.
If you smell Shirley Thompson's breath, you'll find she's had a little nip of gin.
And where's Shirley Thompson coming from?
And then you have the nerve to tell me you think that as a mother I'm not fit. Well, this is just a little Peyton place and you're all Harper Valley hypocrites.
All right. The point is there not a human being at that recording session? You can turn it down. There's not at the recording session that goes, perhaps we should just call Mr. Johnson or Jackson or something. Mm-hmm. What do we got here? Taylor, Baker, Jones, Thompson.
That's all the names we got.
But I feel like between the eight of us, we could come up with a fifth name.
We could do that.
I got one. Taylor.
No, Taylor's on the list.
Jones.
No. Jones is on. We got to come up with a...
Baker.
Hold on a second, Sheila. You're naming names that we already have. We have to come up with another name, but it doesn't have to rhyme with anything, so it's easy.
Baker.
Well, what's your last name?
Baker.
Oh, shit.
How about Valley?
Oh, no. God damn
it. That's not in the name already.
No. Fuck. What's your last name?
Wasn't given one.
You're Baker?
Yeah.
Fuck. Hold on, let's ask the engineer. Stu, what's your last name, dude?
Carl. Oh, you said last name?
I said Stu.
It's Stu Carl Harper.
What's your last name?
Hendershot.
Oh, Stu, hold on. Get the other engineer on.
Carl.
Carl, get on here. Dude, what's your last name?
Thompson.
Fuck! God damn it!
This has been a wonderful reenactment.
Josh, you didn't know where I was heading there, huh? Now,
I'm not really good at improv.
No, shit. Toss your ass right out of the fucking ground.
Goodbye, Hendershot. Goodbye, Stu Carl Hendershot.
I just thought it was just a name that wouldn't work in the song. No, Hendershot.
Yeah. Here we're going.
Hendershot wasn't bad.
It wasn't that bad. My point is, they couldn't fucking come up with a fifth name. They had to go with Harper. Jesus Christ.
And if they're going to go with Harper, then make the song something other Valley PTA.
Oh,
if you need Harper in the song.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Sheila, what valley did you grow up in?
Baker. No, Jones. Jones or Baker. Thompson Valley? It's one of those. It's one of the common names in this town.
I think it has to be Harper for some reason. But anyway, it bothered me. It bothered the shit out of me. And I'm still bothered. And now I want answers. I want answers. So, Brian,
hey.
You would say that it was not written as Harper.
That's my guess.
She was just doing it. And if it was written, if it was written, somebody would have seen it and went, no, it's the same name. Like, does he own the valley?
My wacky theory is that she's in the moment. She's a singer. She's got Harper Valley PTA on the brain. She said Mr. Harper, and she's supposed to say Mr. Johnson. And they tried to get her to do another take, and she refused. I don't know.
All right, all right.
Johnson would have been
a
good name.
Allison?
I like Brian's idea. I don't think that's what happened. That seems too far-fetched. I think that they're just a bunch of tards.
Mm-hmm. Or Harper Valley hypocrites.
Yeah. They're just a little paint place.
Where is Kelly's Bar? Just use that name.
Yep.
Well,
it is very possible that Mr. Harper was like just the rich guy in town, and the school is named after the valley, the school, everything's named after him.
Could be
but
related.
He's a drunkard, though. He hangs out at Kelly's Bar.
Well, but that's maybe the point she's trying to make.
Uh-huh.
Like, even the guy who the school's named after spent too long at the bar, so he can't be here today.
All right. Could very well be.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the two shits on my point.
You
normally
got it.
It's just one Duke. All right, where the hell were we? Comedian Dave Hill is here. He's,
and Dave Hill's in a band, which is named Valley Lodge, actually. I hope that I got the name right. So maybe he'll have some insight into this. Yes, Valley Lodge.
Mm-hmm. Hill would have been an easy name.
Yes!
That's easy. Just one syllable, very popular. There you go. Well, we love Dave.
Let's bring him in.
Let's take a break. We'll bring Dave in and we'll do a little news with Dave.
Be sure and check out some of the other shows on Corolla Digital at AdamCarolla.com.
And I'll be right back with Adam Carolla.
Available now from Corolla Digital, basic cable commentary, Showgirls, with special guest Huell Howser.
Well, thank you, Adam. I'm very excited to see a movie about some girls who put on a show.
Listen in while Adam and Dana Gould as Huell Howser watch the 1994 classic, Showgirls.
Yeah, you missed a very erotic scene there.
What's happening in the movie now?
Well, there's a black man, and she's on his lap, and she's gyrating. And they're kissing deeply. And
I've got the dry heat.
Just download the track and play it along with your copy of the movie. Only $1.99 on iTunes or at the store at AdamCarolla.com.
Well, we's back. Dave Hill in studio. Dave, good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
The book, Tasteful Nudes, is available as we speak. Am I looking up here? And Amazon. And, hey, if you're going to Amazon, go to RoundCurl.com, buy Dave's book, and click on through the Amazon banner. Dave also has a podcast, Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident. That's available on iTunes as well, and the website, DaveHillOnline.com. Let's talk. Oh, you guys, you're a frequent contributor to American Life, which I love this American Life.
Oh, thank you.
What's not to like about that? You know what I mean?
It's a great program.
Yeah. It's simple. But it shows that I think we're wired, like, no matter how much we crave things exploding and people getting stabbed and video games where you're taking people's heads off with swords.
Yeah.
Something just about the theater of the mind with the stories that are told is somehow better.
Yeah, yeah. It's a journey. And then you end up at the end and you're like, oh, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Ira Glass, by the way, is coming in this Wednesday, by the way.
God.
And he's not Warren Sapp, right? That's a different dude? Because we have Warren Sapp coming up, but I don't know if that was a typo or something. That's a different guy. That's not the same guy.
That sounds different.
How many Pro Bowl years did Ira have over Tampa Bay? Or is that a different... We're talking about a different dude.
Different guy.
That was a rebuilding year for
us. Yeah, it is totally weird.
He's coming in next week?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sapp's coming in. I mean, Glass
Ira.
Is coming in.
hope
Ira Sapp's coming in next week. Yeah, he's out of control.
God.
I was on stage with that guy at Caroline's, and it's the only time I've actually been frightened on stage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's fucking out of hand.
He's a loose cannon.
Why can't he keep his pants on?
Literally. Because he's drunk, and he's hung like a black rhino, and...
He's got a dingle-dangle you could skip rope with. He'll be the first one to tell you.
No, not just... I'm talking double Dutch. Not just your basic, not last night, but the night before.
Yeah.
I mean, pure, young, black child double
Cat's
Dutch.
I played Cat's Cradle with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I'll tell you, he introduced me to his wife, and there's a moment when we were backstage at Caroline's, and he just went in the bathroom and just started just destroying it. I mean, literally, I could hear porcelain being broken. I mean, just took a fuck. It's like he had a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a
sledgehammer. I think he did.
He has a sledgehammer for a right hand, and he just started tearing the place up like a rock band.
Yeah.
And I just turned to her and I said, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I think she's living a nightmare. I mean, all you can do is try to stay on his good side.
Yeah. And
for
the night
possible.
She comes home drunk, you just pull those covers over your head. That's it. You sleep in the bathtub. Lock yourself in the bathroom. That fucking guy's out of control.
That's across those public radio. Garrison Keillor.
Yeah.
Terry Gross.
Oh, Terry Gross. She needs to be 5150'd. I mean, she's fucking she's out of control.
No. Speedballs.
She comes in here. I get a fucking taser and some pepper spray.
Has she been here?
No, she's not. No, she's not welcome here. She's not welcome here.
Yeah,
no,
I wouldn't
do it. I've heard enough.
I'm on the news
I've heard enough stories. Yeah. She gets transported like Hannibal Lecter. We speak to her through Lexan. You know what I mean?
And even then, you don't feel safe.
Mm-mm. You know, when you're in Utah or Detroit, it's hard to explain to people about, you know, $4 million fixer uppers, but yep, they do.
No, I mean just the grout work alone on that place was like $200,000.
Yeah,
I think
at least $200,000 worth of sponge troweling.
Yeah. Is that a special kind of grout or just the way it's applied?
Sanded.
Okay. Here's the thing you might not know about Dave Hill. He's not just your average comedian author who also plays in a band. He's super duper good at guitar.
I'm pretty sure.
Really? That sounds like shit.
No, I mean...
No, but like that, but the good version.
Yeah, whatever the good version of that.
Well, can we find some of you, you know,
going
to town?
Are there some YouTube videos of you, you know, impressing?
Shredding.
Yeah.
You shredding?
Say a name of them or something, and then someone can probably pull it up.
Yeah, there's a few of them I could pull up.
Are you doing your own thing, or hopefully covering Hocus Pocus by Focus?
We do like a lot of Atlanta rhythm section.
Oh, no.
No.
I am so into you.
I don't know why I thought of that.
Well, listen, if you can think of Felicia Rashad, you can think of anything.
When am I not thinking
of her?
It's
a decent point.
Yeah.
So you did not get laid in high school, but then got a ton of pussy in college? Because there needs to be a point when you're not getting laid so you can learn to play the guitar really well. And then a place where there's an avalanche of pussy later on once you learn.
I would say the avalanche was even after...
College. So you're still honing your craft in college?
No, I feel... Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I was afraid to... by the time I was 20, I decided this is going horribly. I will never even try to kiss a girl again. I'm going to wait until she tries. And so it's actually worked out.
Had you struck out fantastically or something?
No, all it took is one girl that I had already kissed, and then we were like talking for a really long time. I'm still friends with her.
I feel like you could have sex with Moby and not be gay. that would just be evolved. You know what I mean? People go,
I'm on the fence about this one.
Well, someone would say, hey, man, I was butt fucking this dude the other night, and people are like, what? It was Moby. They'd go,
okay.
How was it? Yeah.
Was he spinning anything? Or that sounds cool. Or what was that?
All right. So we're back. And as I said, hilarious. And love Dave Hill, too. Very, very funny comedian. Now, we also have another funny comedian. This is Phoebe Robinson in the next clip show. She is from Two Dope Queens. And
she's a singular dope queen.
She's what? One of the singular dope queens. She came on in 2016.
She came on. She is her debut appearance. They talk about her journey, two dope queens. And then Adam segues into the story of his ex-girlfriend in 1994, who came to stay with him after the Northridge earthquake, and how her mom came to town right as she was forced to stay with him and his roommates, right as some other interesting developments occurred on his face. Check it out.
Phoebe Robinson, good to see you. Thanks
how
for coming
are
in.
You?
I'm doing well. I was watching you doing stand up on.
I was watching Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers,
yeah,
yes, very nice.
A lot of fun.
Very nice job.
Thank you.
Phoebe does stand up. Phoebe writes books. Phoebe does a podcast. What does Phoebe not do? By the way, the book, You Can't Touch My Hair, it's available now
yeah.
on Amazon.
Yeah.
And you can click through our website, and that would be nice for us. Also, and bookmark us, podcast Two Dope Queens, new episodes every week mm-hmm. on iTunes. And you're with Jessica Williams, who's formerly of The Daily Show.
Yeah.
So tell us, man, how does this all get going for you?
Well, I started doing comedy like 8 years ago, and I'm based out of New York. I'm originally from Cleveland. So I moved to New York because I thought I was going to work in film and write important movies. Like, I was like, I'm going to write My American Beauty, but like a dumb trash bag floating in the wind. Like, I was very self-important. And then 8 years ago, a friend of mine wanted to take a stand-up class at Caroline's, and then I just did it, and I ended up loving it. So I really changed everything for me.
So Caroline's has a stand-up class.
Yeah, yeah. So it was an 8-week class, and I just wrote my jokes, and I just kept doing it, and I was just started doing open mics and had a day job and was making no money and drinking too much, and yeah.
That's the way.
I know, right? That's all you need to do when you do stand-up, yeah.
Dude, I never really thought, it's funny because I went to the Groundlings and then mm-hmm. later on Acme Theater, and then everyone does Second City and Improv Olympics and blah, blah, blah. So that's everyone's pretty much understands that if you want to do sketch or improv or whatever, you go learn,
yeah.
go take classes. But stand-up, I know there's classes, but no comedian ever talks about taking stand-up. It's like no model ever went to modeling school.
Right. I think it's me and Jim Gaffigan. I think he took some classes like years ago. Years, years, years ago. But yeah, it ended up being, you really just learn how to stand on stage and not be an idiot.
It makes total sense you rarely hear, maybe it's not romantic.
Going to say, I think the romantic notion is work it out, get your time on the boards, get your time mm-hmm. on stage, work it out, go to open mic nights, bomb, do badly, then do a little better. Like, I think that's the romantic notion, when the most practical is like, take a class. You'll get pretty far ahead of the beginning stages pretty fast.
Yeah, they don't have the same thing with like aviation.
Stumbled into it.
My friends really thought I'd be a good pilot, so one of them dared me to steal a Cessna. So after work, we went to the airport. We had a few cold ones, and they
I thought he was going to fly. He made me fly.
They were urging me to get in that Cessna, man. Or the version where your mom, like when you're 14, would have to drive you into the airport and let you fly the Cessnas and wait in the car.
I begged her to do it.
Yeah, there's a weird, I think there's a thing where comedians, I always say this about models. How'd you get into modeling? They're like, well, I turned 14, I realized I was smoking hot.
Yeah.
So I went to Europe and started making money.
Yeah.
No, but comedians have to do that. My friends pushed me up, or everyone thought I worked with, thought I was funny. But if you go, I took a class, then it means you went, oh, I like this. I thought I was funny, and I wanted to explore it.
I didn't want to take the class. I didn't. My friend wanted to take it, and I was like,
we got it. Yeah. This is the model story we're talking about.
And so I was like, I never really watched stand-up growing up. I never really thought it was a job. But she was like, you hate your life. Just take this class. If you hate this class, whatever. And so that's how I got into stand-up. It was very begrudgingly that I did it.
And in your friend, did mm-hmm. she make anything of herself?
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't do stand-up anymore, but she writes and stuff. So yeah, she lives in L.A.
For you, mm-hmm. what is the process? Like, get up, work it out, go to, I talk to comedians, it's like I remember once a comedian went like, oh my God, I haven't performed in forever. It's been like 6 days
yeah.
or something since they did a set. But in that world, that's part of the schedule, right?
Yeah, when I started out, so I started doing stand-up July of 08, and then I got laid off from my job in October of 08. So I just was doing open mics and bringer shows every night and living off my severance, which didn't last, and I was desperately broke by the time I got another job again. And I'm never going to be the person that wants to do four shows in a night. That's just not how I operate. That just feels excessive for someone like me. So I like to mix it up. I like writing books and like doing acting stuff and, you know, doing podcasting stuff with Jessica for WNYC. And so I really just kind of mix it up.
You're a Renaissance woman.
Yeah. I want to have my own empire, my own black lady empire.
Two dope queens.
Yeah.
You
said that very white. That was the whitest thing you ever said.
But I liked it. It felt very podcasty to have like a white guy intro two dope queens. I felt perfect.
Two dope queens. These young ladies really lay it down. They're telling it like it is.
These dope queens
are two dope queens.
Two dope queens.
Yeah. I don't know why it reminds me.
Stephen Hawking's one.
Well, listen. Nothing is as good as... God, I swear to God, I don't think we can find it these days. Or maybe we'll get... maybe we'll get the guy who found the Billy Bush tape on this. But there's a great... there's a great archive. I was watching TV in like 1987 or something, and it was the Two Live crew.
Mm-hmm.
Brian knows the story, but I don't know, whatever Nazis they want to be, whatever. And
it's when they were getting, you know, arrested and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was all that thing. I got 85, 88, somewhere.
Later than that, but yeah.
Something later 80s, yeah. Whatever it was, and it was like Dan Rather on the evening news, and he was like, and in Dade County, Two Live crew were arrested. They're the band that made the popular song, Me So Horny. Two dope queens. I love that. And I'm also like,
it's a kindred spirit.
Dan, you can just say popular, controversial rap band. Like, yeah. You do not have to say Me So Horny, Two Dope Queens into the microphone. But all right. So, Phoebe, the book that is out as we speak, the out dates. I don't know. Where do we go if we want to see you do stand-up? Do you have dates or
yeah, I right now around? I'm on the book tour. So I was going to have stand-up dates, but then they conflicted with some TV stuff that I'm doing. So I canceled all that, and then I'm just doing book tour dates for the rest of the month. You see me in Seattle, Portland, Madison, Wisconsin. I'll be tripling that black population real quick.
Oh, in Madison, yeah.
DC, Cleveland, which is where I'm from, so that'll be nice. But I'm really excited about the book tour. It'll be great.
What were you doing that you got laid off from?
I was working in film. I was an assistant at an indie film company. So I was just getting coffee and doing expense reports. Really not glamorous at all. And I was like, I hate this. This is awful.
Boy, when you think indie film company, you think locked in for life in terms of employment. I can't imagine they were cutting back over the indie film company. Wow, it's like one of the safest career bets ever.
Yeah.
And you do find out that it's mostly just work, right? Like all that glamorous independent film stuff. It's just a bunch of transcribing stuff and office work.
Yeah, you're in an office.
Yeah.
And you're getting people coffee, and you're like, I am $50,000 in debt, and I'm getting someone coffee. It does not feel good.
My question, I was going to say, New York's a tough place to have no job, no income, be laid off, especially in late 2008. How did you get by?
So I had a severance, and I was like, oh, I'm so rich. So I like literally fucking went to like West Elm and CB2 and just bought a bunch of furniture for my apartment. And I was like, oh, I'll get a job next week. It took me almost a year to get a full-time job. So I was just doing temp stuff for like, I was working at a makeup store, just packing eyeshadow for fashion week, and no one was eating. I would bring in like my Wendy's, like a fucking garbage monster. And I'm like, oh, this smells great. And like, we don't eat here. We all wear black. Like, it was just
we don't eat that. It's we don't eat.
Yeah. I never saw anyone eat ever there. And I was like, how are you guys not? So yeah, I was doing just odd jobs like that.
I had the same thing on that 6-hour flight when we're flying Virgin Plus. I didn't see anyone eating anything either.
JetBlue.
Some of the stupid chips.
The terror chips are good. Don't hate the terror chips, man.
I hate they gave us veggie chips.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I don't want yams and beets as chips. I mean, I can eat them, but we do have something called potato chips.
That everybody
are they
likes.
Broken? Yeah, everyone likes them.
Especially what to me is 8:15 in the morning.
Right.
I've been in this plane for an hour.
I'll blow you for some barbecued Lay's right now. Right now. Like, who doesn't like barbecue chips? Can we get some barbecue? I like when the barbecue chip says the barbecue sauce they used. I don't care if it's a fucking lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
a lie. Casey Masterby.
It's a little picture, and you're like, oh, look at me. I got stuff I can buy for $3.99 and get a half gallon, but now it's in the bag.
Yeah.
And a dusting of it is on here. I fucking love barbecue chips. I wish there's no... Oh, there's no airline that's ever served barbecue chips. No. Oh, it's a mess. It's too much of a mess.
It's red and the
barbecue chips are—they're healthy, you know. Mm. I mean, it's kind of like eating styrofoam, but you know.
I know, but as long as we're eating styrofoam, let's enjoy it with some Ruffles or something. But anyway, all right. So you get laid off.
Yeah.
You begin to embark on your journey as a stand-up comedian. How did you grow up, and then where does the comedy come in? Like, where how's it in you?
Yeah, so I'm from Cleveland. All my family's back there. And I guess I was like a funny kid. I was never a class clown. Like, I didn't want to try and get attention. I would just make, you know, snarky asides when something happens. I thought I was going to be a writer. So I used to write all these stories when I was a kid, and I had a massive crush on my gym teacher, so I used to write stories about how he and I would like end up together.
That's amazing.
And I would like win awards
fan fiction.
But it was like really ridiculous that I would win awards for this in school. Like, no one's ever like, hey, maybe we should talk to you. They were like, great, great narrative. So I would just win the awards for being like, yeah, I want to bang like my gym teacher. And
the good old days.
Yeah, the good old days in the 90s when it was great to be inappropriate. And yeah, so that was just, I was just used to watch a lot of movies, and I was a virgin for a really long time. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 24. So, yeah, I was just watching a lot of movies and TV shows.
Why so long with the virginity?
I couldn't lose it, Adam. I tried. I tried to give it out. And no, I was like, expired Bed Bath & Beyond coupons. Nobody wanted
they
it.
They still take those. They still take those.
Yeah, you can
it's called
those.
Customer service.
Yeah, I just couldn't. I don't think I had any swag. And I was very... Nothing's up. I was just very, very skinny. I went to like an all-white high school. Oh. I was like the only black girl in my grade, and like I never got asked out, and it was just not the right time. And then I started doing comedy and like got more confident, and then I lost the old V card, and now I'm out there in the streets buying Plan B on the regs, you know,
which is a great time.
Do you have a boyfriend now?
No, we broke up while I was writing the book, and I had to like move out.
Oh, you were living together.
Yeah, that was tough.
Ooh,
that was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's had that? Brian, you had that? Gina, you had that?
Oh, someone else, yeah, Gina had
that. The moving out?
Not in the middle of the book, but yeah, I've had to move out.
That's
it was tough.
It is rough going.
It was so hard because we were just not working well together anymore. So I was like, let's end it. But then I had to scramble to find an apartment. And
in New York, that's tough.
It was hard.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah. And like, you know, we moved in. So I threw out a lot of my stuff. Mm-hmm. So when I didn't have a bed, like I didn't have a table. So I had to buy all this new stuff again.
I had two rough move in. I had a rough move out and a rough move in.
How do you have a rough move in? Was this like you knew you shouldn't have moved in together and you did it anyway?
This was like I was dating somebody for really about 3 weeks. It could have been a month. And it's horrible. It's easily the worst. Before I met Jimmy Kimmel, I essentially had the worst like 3 months of anyone could ever have, which is I was dating this gal. She was from Minnesota, and we'd really only been dating for about 3 or 4. It could have been 2 weeks. And this is right before the 94 earthquake.
Just the eye thing.
And it was everything.
Okay.
She was sleeping at my house. And the 94 quake hit.
Oy.
And I was living out in La Crescenta in a rented house with 3 dudes and no money. And she was driving a piece of shit Nissan whose head gasket blew like the day before and was like parked in front of the house. And we didn't have the money. You know, I'm a sort of a mechanic, but this is a head gasket. This is a big job. I don't know. It's going to cost hundreds of dollars. We didn't have any money. And her mom was coming out. And her mom was coming out and going to stay with her because her mom was poor as well. She's coming out from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and she was going to stay for like 5 days. She already bought her plane tickets and blah, 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 but she was going to stay with this girl, Cynthia. Earthquake hits in the middle of the morning, middle of the night, whatever, 94. She's from Minnesota, so she's all freaked out. I used to do earthquake rehab work and grew up in the San Fernando Valley. So I'm giving her the, don't worry about it. I remember 1972, house rocking and rolling. It's fine. You know, and she's like, my apartment, my cat, you know, my this and my that. I was like, look, I used to do.
The cat's gone. Forget the cat.
I used to do rehab work. I used to work on, I've done so much construction and so much earthquake rehab work. I said, it's only masonry. It's only on unreinforced masonry. And your apartment's just some crappy stucco, you know, Valley mm-hmm. Village, whatever mm-hmm. place. It's fine. It's fine. My mom's house that they just tore down in North Hollywood, that thing was from the 18 somethings. It wasn't bolted down to the foundation. It wasn't anything. It was just rocked and rolled. It's fine. Anything made out of wood and stucco, whatever, siding, fine. And we were at we're like La Crescenta. We're like 10, 15 miles away. She was like she was like Sherman Oaks, and she right along the river, right along the LA River in Sherman Oaks there. Anyway, her apartment was red flag. It was destroyed. She couldn't go back in. Her business, she worked at the Rainforest Cafe on Ventura Boulevard.
Yep, yep.
That was red flag too. She had no job, no money, a blown head gasket, an apartment she couldn't go back into.
And a dead cat.
And a mom that was like on a plane coming from Minneapolis. Oh. And now she's held up in this crappy house that we're all living in with three roommates. And mama's coming to stay for 5 days. And I got some sort of disease. I don't know what it is to this day. But I had ulcers on my face, my tongue.
Wait, what?
You had shingles, maybe.
I had something.
You were like Chris Elliott, and there's something about Mary?
Yes. I had night sweats where I would just sweat. I was night sweats and ulcers breaking out on my face and my tongue and my lips, and I was a complete and utter disaster. I have no idea because I didn't have insurance. We didn't have, let's see, who was the president? Let's see, we didn't have Bill Clinton care back then.
It would have been Clinton, you're right. 94.
Yeah, I didn't have any insurance. I didn't have any money. Yeah. I didn't have anything. She didn't have any insurance. She didn't have any money. And I was just like, I'm sick, but I don't know what. And there's a knock on the door, and like the door opened, and it was her mom.
Oh,
and she just
gosh.
Looked at me. These like ulcers on my face and stuff, like standing in my bathrobe, all sweating, you know, the car steaming in the front driveway. And she's like, she didn't hesitate. She's like, what the fuck is going on in here? And I'm like, hey, sweetie, you're staying here for the next like 5 days. So I'd make the best of it. And she was like, I'm not fucking staying. And like, hey, your daughter's apartment is destroyed. You can't afford. And we literally threw down on the porch. Like, we got into it. I was in no mood either, because I was like, I'm diseased.
Covered in bills.
I have no money. My job is, I worked in the basement of a building in Pasadena teaching boxing, and my job shut down temporarily as well. Her job, nobody has any money. Your car's broken. We got nothing. You got a sofa. I got cankers and chankers and things coming off my face, and that was about as bad as it ever got.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Bottom. And then you did Jimmy Kimmel and everything was good.
I did.
He swept out your feet.
I literally said, wow, this is the quake was what? February 94, toward the end of February 94. I was going to turn 30 in May of 94. And I was like, man, you're going to turn 30 and this is it? You got stuff all over your face and a fat mother-in-law. Not mother-in-law, but God
wait,
knows
so what
ended
up happening to your face? They just went away?
Facial shingles.
I just had, all I could do was sit and wait until everything went away.
Wow.
And that's all. The good news is I wasn't getting a lot of commercial work.
Yeah.
I was going on auditions. There's
a lot of voiceover work.
Yeah, yeah, mostly voiceover, animated, stuff like that. You know, voice of Mercedes.
Sure.
I couldn't go to my job because my job was red flag. She couldn't go anywhere. Nobody could go anywhere. Nobody knew who I was, and there wasn't anywhere to go, so I just sat home and sweated all night.
Oh, geez. Well, I'm glad you're on the other side of that.
Yeah, man.
Like,
I
really
came out
far,
the other side.
You're doing great.
And so how did who brought up moving out?
I did. I was just like, I did the breaking up, and then I was like, well, it's only for, I should move out since I'm doing the breaking up. So I moved out. And yeah, I live in Brooklyn still. It's good. Things are good. We're fine.
What is the appropriate amount of pushback on you moving out? Because I'll help you pack.
That's what I want to know.
It's sort of an insult.
It's a bit.
No, yeah. It was just, you know, I was just like trying to pack. Like, it was like a one bedroom apartment. And mm-hmm. So it was kind of like railroad. So like you walk in, there's like the living room and you walk down this long hallway and there's a bedroom in the back. So I was like trying to pack as though I'm like not moving out. Cause like he would get home from work and, you know, like my clothes would be gone from the closet and we just like wouldn't talk about it. Like, wow. I just felt, it felt horrible. This is my first move out. So I felt really like.
Was he heartbroken?
We both were. It was like really sad. I mean, we're together like 4 years and I think we both thought we were probably going to get married at one point. So then it just became like, oh yeah, that's not going to happen. So. It's fine.
I've seen St. Elmo's Fire, and I know that moving out can be sometimes contentious.
No,
but he was okay.
He was good.
Like, you just both realized you got to the end of this relationship.
I was a little concerned because you watch like Dateline. It's always like a woman breaks up with a white guy. He gets upset because he feels entitled, and then like the woman's dead. So I was very much like, I hope he's not like a crazy white guy. He hasn't shown any crazy white guy tendencies in our relationship. So I was a little. Fingers crossed on that.
All right, now, do we need to know what he moves on to in terms of ethnicity? Because I would like some follow. I'd like some closure.
Two dope queens.
Yeah, is he moving on to the second queen? Or is he get with the white chick because he's checked that box?
I don't know.
I'd like to.
He's racially open. We're both racially open people. So we'll see.
But Adam needs to know.
I will, as soon as I find out, I will let you know who John dates next.
Yeah. Tell him it's for me.
Quick question. Adam Carolla needs to know who you're banging.
Yeah, I do, because there's a lot of guys I know like they're like Asian women.
Mm-hmm.
And they just stick with Asian women.
Yeah.
One of my, this guy. Biggest mistake
ever. But is it like yellow fever, though, where it's offensive? Like, is it like
a fetish?
Yeah. Is it a fetish, or do you think he's actually respecting these women?
I can tell you, I like to judge, you know.
Great.
And I like to prejudge. And if you tell me, hey, there's this dude, and you haven't met him, but I want you to meet him, and he strictly dates Asian women, I probably won't like the guy. Because there's usually, it's like, because you start talking to them and it's like, well, they don't talk. They're real quiet. They're real subservient. Like they take orders real well. You know what I mean? Like they're hairless. That's a point. But what I'm saying is, it's like usually if that's a dude who has a type of personality is looking for this.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like, Asian, black woman, whatever. Bring him down. This guy has his.
Bring him down?
This guy has his.
Bring him on down.
What is this, like
line
a yard sale?
The auction starts
like right. Yeah. I had a friend in high school named Tom. He was a brother. He was.
That was said very white.
That was white.
He was a brother.
He was a brother. Two dope queens. This guy had two misfortunes. He was black, but he was the richest guy I knew in high school. His dad was a hand surgeon. And so we used to go and eat at his house and stuff. But he loved Asian women. Mm. Women. That's all he wanted.
Okay.
That's all he wanted. But he won like best physique. Like back when they could give those awards out.
I'm listening.
Wait, this was in high school? They gave out that award?
Oh, they gave out. They give out like. Most humpable and stuff. Like, I mean, most date rapeable.
Swiss package.
Yeah, no, they literally they had best physique, best, you know, female and male. You know, they had like biggest flirt and stuff like that.
Whoa.
Like stuff like they would never, you'd never get away with those. That just best looking.
We had the most and the least. Like the biggest guy and the smallest guy.
Really?
That's
rude.
Would never go today.
Yeah, that's disrespectful.
That was 1996.
I don't even know who's the winner in that equation.
Yeah.
I could make a pretty good argument against being either one of those guys. Yeah. I got class clown, which I don't even know if they allow that anymore. But this,
I think they still allow.
This was, the clowns. Yeah. I don't know if they let you. But okay.
Clownist.
This guy.
I got best hair, and that is not a joke.
Oh, God,
Brian. Nice.
But that was an ironic thing?
That was. Yeah, I was losing my hair. and everyone voted for me.
Oh my God.
We could never do this anymore.
Everyone voted for me. They took a picture of the back of my head in the yearbook.
Did you laugh?
Of course. Okay, I was in on the joke.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, good.
This guy, Tom, was best physique. Okay. Like, he's just one of these guys with no waist and it was all arms and he lifted weights all the time and he just was an amazing Adonis. And he could have nailed any black chick or white chick in the school, but he was only focused on Asian women, and that shrunk the pool of potential bonies down to next to nothing.
Yeah. Just the honors class.
And I just tell him, like, all the time, like, Tom, man, go get her and get her. And he's like, I like the Asian women. I'm like, why are you doing this to you and your cock? Yeah. Like, why
especially
would you do this to yourself?
Yeah.
How would you know
17,
what you're into?
Just go have
You're at a buffet. Why just go ahead at the sushi?
You won best physique in high school. Yeah. Sushi.
Get some barbecue, right?
I got
to
get some barbecue.
Yeah, get some barbecue.
That's right.
No, barbecue is black people or white people.
How dare you, by the way? How dare you?
I just want to know what you were.
I was talking
that's
about
offensive.
I was literally talking about
that. Black is mac and cheese. Yeah. I'm sorry for that offensive stereotype. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, ironically, the white rice, not the white people. So, then what about you? We're open to dating?
Yeah.
Anybody, anything?
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
I think I want someone older. I'm 32, and I've dated younger, and I think I need a guy who's like late 30s to mid 40s, just like grown-ass dude who like knows what he wants.
Has a job.
Has a headboard.
Yep.
It's all very important stuff, you know? I don't know, like funny. It's always weird because being a funny person, I don't know if this happens when you were dating women, where women like trying to show you how funny they were, or like how cool they were. But I feel like,
I don't know, I'm so tuned out.
That's so progressive of you.
I think people will back me up. I'm never really on, but I'm never really off. Just sort of whatever you hear, here's kind of what you get.
People, I'm sure, Gina, you get this all the time. People ask, what's Adam like off the air? What's Adam really like? And I was like, he's exactly the same minus about 20%.
I just burst into tears and say, nothing!
Yeah. So I like, the sense of humor is great, but it's also kind of like, for me, it's my world is comedy, so
right.
I kind of get enough of it, and then I
want to
go talk about something else.
Well, at least they appreciate your sense of humor.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. I'm flexible. I'm pretty open.
Phoebe, if sense of humor, being funny, is not important to you, there's a guy named Vinny Tortorich coming in tomorrow who checks all the other boxes you may want to meet.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. He owns his own business.
Yeah. Oh, what's his business? What's his business?
He's a fitness. He's in super shape.
Oh, I need that. That's exciting.
That's right.
Okay. What does he look like?
He's
good looking.
He looks like a good looking Italian guy. Like a very good, very, very in shape Italian guy. There's a nice picture of Vinny Tortorich.
Okay.
You
right.
could hit that.
I could hit that. Yeah, he's cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
There's the body shot.
Okay,
he's very fit.
He's too ripped. I don't think he
wouldn't disagree with you on that.
I would describe you as beautiful with that new vagina smell.
Can you put that on the back of my book? Put that on the back of my book. That'll be
great. Yeah, low mileage.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, 24 is about as old as losing Virginia, I think, we've had in here in a while.
When did you guys lose?
Oh, I was 16 and a half or something.
Okay.
Something in there. I was in high school. I was in the going into the 11th grade, I think.
That's nice.
Was it
horrible? Were you just god awful?
It was literally, yes.
Yeah.
I was horrible, but I was so consumed with, I have bad wiring. And my wiring is such that if I were like at the Super Bowl on the 50-yard line, my wiring is, we got to get this game over with so I can go tell people I was at the Super Bowl, not sit back and enjoy the Super Bowl.
And are you still like that now? You're still disappointing women now?
I have a rich tradition of disappointing women since 1981.
Ma'am.
Yes, a tradition of disappointment since 1981. Yeah. It says it on my business. It's on my business card. Disappointing since 1981. Yeah.
No.
Yes, unsatisfied customer.
Okay, do you in other if do you like go down? Like, are you down to go down? And like, do you give it like your all?
Oh my God, it's
exciting. That's my wife. Yeah. No, I wouldn't say give it. I give it my all. I don't.
Yeah. Bare minimum.
Yeah, there's a position I'm sad to say you get into, well, like any relationship, any job, anything, where you kind of think, well, not what do I do to really make this company rich, but what do I do not to get fired?
I'm with you.
You know what I mean? So it's a different setting.
You got a pension coming.
Yeah.
All right, we're back. One more clip, and it's a great one. This is the premiere of Rich Banks' song, Mangria Moments.
It's great. He does an almost perfect Benny King impression kind of tribute with his vocal tone. I love it. And then also it's a use of a great drop that people are quite fond of. This is from Adam Carolla Show 1651. Just Gina Grad and Brian Bishop along with Adam Carolla. This is from September 2015. Check it out.
Moment. He created something new. It was that fateful night. He ran out of booze. Here's how it happened. His tumbler was half filled, but there was no Pinot left. The bottle was killed. Half a glass of wine. Running his summer night, hoarding everything he had. Drunk MacGyver made it right. Mangria moments. Hashtag him all of yours. Capture them forever. On Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Everybody.
So Gary, nice. What do we do?
Nice job. you just hashtag pound Mangria moment, and we'll honor a fan every week. Sorry.
Tweet a picture, Instagram a picture. And tag it with Mangria moment.
Mm-hmm.
Get creative, people. We got to look at this picture and talk to you.
Mm-hmm. And I probably shouldn't say pound, right, Gary? But why put pound in there? Why not just write hashtag Mangria moment?
Habit.
Sorry. Okay. I know it's a condescending answer, but what I'm saying is...
No, that's not condescending. That's my habit of when I think of hashtag, I put the hashtag on there.
Hi,
Gary. Right, except for it has the word hashtag. The word hashtag comes before hashtag or the pound. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. No, I got you.
Hi, right. Gary.
Hi, Sonny. One more.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary. All right. Do we have a picture, by the way?
We don't. This is the start of the campaign.
Just announcing it right now.
So we're encouraging people to tweet us their pictures. And
you people,
next week.
You people do tweet me your stuff, and it's nice. You.
Hi, Gio.
Hi, Chris.
That is it for Carolla Classics for this Saturday, May 4th. Thank you again for hanging out with us. Just a reminder, submit your requests. Email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. Tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana. And Gio, where should they go if they want to hear the full episodes?
Podcast One Premium. You can use the titles and the date information to find the episodes. You can listen to the full entire shows. I highly recommend it. That's Podcast One Premium.
And make sure to check out Carolla Classics, the podcast, where we'll be releasing another episode tomorrow. Thank you again for hanging out with us. It's been a pleasure. My name's Chris Loxamana, for Superfan Giovanni.
As Adam Carolla always says, may the 4th be with you. Mahalo, and get it on.
I don't know about that.
Adam never said that.